Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Megillat Echa. Yesterday we spoke about the subject of Re'acha. We spoke that the greatest friendship and the greatest level of a friend is someone who gives the uncomfortable comments to those that they care about. It's very difficult for a person to put himself out at risk and tell people something that is uncomfortable to hear. It's much easier to be a person who shows ahava, showing love is much more comfortable. It's well received on the other side and often reciprocated. To give a person rebuke, to give a person constructive criticism is very uncomfortable, because it can cause animosity and bad feelings on the other side, which also can often be reciprocated. For a person to put himself on the line and give such words to another person, it has to be that he cares enough about the person that he's willing to make himself uncomfortable and risk perhaps certain kind of negativity that could come out of it. This is the reality, and that is why most people in life do not give criticism and do not point out to others what may be clear to them and to others, but they will not step up and tell them. And that's what we spoke about, that in the time of the Hurban, they were the Nevi'e Sheker, the false prophets, which showed a lot of love to the people, which of course was attractive. And then you had Re'eha. You had the people, the true caring prophets that were not in it for themselves, and therefore they were courageous enough to give people the words they needed to hear. But obviously the wrong choice was made, and they followed the Nevi'e Sheker. So just as their soul was searching to make teshuvah, which is the nature of our neshama, they had those who loved them make them feel good and special as they were, and therefore they didn't make the right choices as a result. Just as an aside, love doesn't build people. It's one of the mistakes that people make, both in their home and in teaching others. Love doesn't build others. Very often, love destroys others. When you love someone in situations that are inappropriate, it can cause a tremendous amount of damage to the person that you love. You make them feel successful when they're in fact failing. You make them feel that the world will react to them in the most beautiful way, regardless of their actions. You give them a false understanding of reality. Love is an important factor in building people. But it itself doesn't build. What builds people is emet. What builds people is direction. What builds people is pointing out and showing a person how their mistakes are going to lead them to tragedy, how their good decisions will lead them to success. It's getting to the mind of the person and their heart in a way that they're able to understand that what they've been doing may not be good for them. Again, in order to be able to give them that strength, you have to show them love. You have to actually love them. That's obvious. But the goal, not just to love them. Just love alone doesn't build a person. Love is a conduit that allows the person to be trusted. And once somebody trusts you, they listen to you because they see you're coming from a good place. It takes a lot of love for a person to trust us. So that's why we have to constantly invest in feelings of ahava, in actions of ahava. We have to constantly build that. It's like a bank account. You constantly deposit. Depositing love, one day you're going to have to make a withdrawal. When you tell someone something uncomfortable for them, it's a withdrawal. If you don't have anything in the bank, so you're not going to be able to withdraw the money, at least not in a healthy way. So we constantly have to put ahava, sincere love, show that love. Because one day we're going to need it. We don't have to love just for that reason. But if you just give direction without showing ahava, it is almost a sure bet that you will not be able to reach them. That's why it says, "Vayikra el Moshe, vaydaber Adonai elav." Pasuk says, and Hazal teach us from that pasuk, that every time Moshe Rabbeinu was called by Hashem to teach him, Hashem came to teach Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing he would do is he would call him. What would he say? He would tell him, Moshe, Moshe. He would call his name twice, Hazal say, Derech Hiba, as a way of endearment. Wants to show him love. Every time Hashem would want to teach Moshe Rabbeinu, he would first show him ahava. After the love, he's able to teach him. Teaching someone without ahava is like withdrawing money from an empty bank account. It doesn't work. You're never going to have a real effect on the person. But again, with all the value of ahava, it doesn't do the job. There are plenty of parents, plenty of teachers, plenty of rabbis that just love and they come out with failures. Loving alone doesn't do the trick. There is a braita in Masechet Tamid. The Braita quotes the great Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He asks a very interesting question, probably a question that we would not have asked. We would never imagine that a rabbi would ask this question. Rabbi Omer Says Rabbi, Ezohi derech yeshara. What is the road that is straight? Straight means straight to success. Straight to reach all the important goals of life. So he says, what is the derech yeshara? The road that is straight, sheyavur lo ha'adam, that a person should choose for himself. Now, this is a very surprising question. We would expect this question to come out of the mouth of a goy who doesn't know about how to live life. Like the people in the street, ask them, how do you become successful? Probably they have no idea. They do what's comfortable, what's exciting, what comes to their heart. But if you ask them for a roadmap of what, first of all, what is success and how to get there, I'm sure most people, some of the greatest philosophers of this world, were lost. They took a flashlight and they're looking to find, how do we know what's considered success and how to get there? That one of the greatest Jews that ever lived, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he would ask such a question. What is the straight road that a person should choose? Was Rabbeinu HaKadosh not there by Har Sinai? Did he not learn about Har Sinai? Does he not know that we have a Torah? Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. Which part exactly is he missing? He's the one that compiled all of the Mishnayot that we have in Shas. What is the Mishnayot? What do they do? First Mishnah. What is the first Mishnah in Shas? Me'ematai korin et Shema ve'arvi. When is the time to read Shema at night? What is that called? Isn't that called direction? Isn't every Mishnah in all of Shas coming to teach us the Derech Yeshara? It's coming to tell us how to talk. It's coming to tell us how to live in every area of life. What else is Shas if not Derech Yeshara? What are we doing when we're learning? It's shocking that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who compiled all of Shas, that means he wrote the Constitution. He put down the Constitution for us. And yet he asks, what is the road that brings a person to success? This is a very big shock and needs a lot of explanation. It seems sometimes the question is so big that it's clear that we're missing something big. It seems that Torah alone, with all of its details and all of its halachot, do not guarantee a person a place in success. That means a person could learn every part of Torah. A person, in theory, could practice every part of Torah and still be a failure. It's interesting. A person that's committed to learning and committed to Torah and mitzvot, still is not guaranteed that he is on the straight road to success. That might sound like a pikorsut. What does that mean? If I'm committed to the guide, to the GPS of the Creator, is it possible that it doesn't get you to the right location? I put on GPS in my car, I fully trust I'm going to get there if I just follow the road. So you're telling me if the Creator gave you GPS and you follow it, you're still not sure if it's taking you straight? How could that be? The answer to this question, I think we could all agree, has very much to do with the human reality that we're all aware of, but we need to become more in touch with it. You know, we think of sheker as something that people do with each other. We think of sheker, falsehood, as things that happen in relationships. When does falsehood play a role in our lives? When we lie, when we cheat. All things that have to do with others. Falsehood in this world is viewed as something that's relationship-based. There are people who live with emunah, which means they're ne'eman. They are trustworthy. Their word is word. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They don't steal. And then there are people who are sheker. They're not always sheker, but sometimes sheker. Sometimes sheker is also sheker. That's the way most people view the world of falsehood. It has to do with marriage. That's why we bless a married couple that they should build a bayit ne'eman, that they should be loyal, honest, trustworthy to each other. And that's how we view emet and sheker. However, in truth, the most lethal place of falsehood, the most destructive area of sheker, has nothing to do with anyone but the person himself. We would not believe it if someone would say this. He would say, impossible. But a person is fully capable of lying to himself. It's the most interesting reality that seems not to even make sense. Why would I lie to myself? Lying to someone else, it makes sense because they don't know the truth. So they will accept my lie as true and I will benefit from it. But I can't lie to someone who was there. Imagine I say that something that's a lie to someone who was with me when we were together. You heard what she said? She said this and this and this. But what? I was there. You can't lie to someone who knows the truth. So how can I lie to myself? What does that mean? It makes no sense. If I'm lying to myself, it means that I know it's not true. So how would that have any possible effect, any reality that makes sense? Why would someone do that when they know the emet? It's such an unbelievable reality that I think if someone came from Mars and doesn't know about this reality, he would say, impossible. No such thing. But anybody who is up and alive, I don't mean he's breathing. I mean his mind is up and he's experiencing life with sechel, with his brain turned on, knows very well that people have this ability and they use it constantly. A human has the ability to translate his actions in the way that makes them happy and comfortable, even if the real translation is something else. You see, humans have a very big desire to be good. Nobody in the world, not even a little child, go to a child who's 1 year old and give him a face that makes him feel that he's not good. Already he'll be hurt and offended and upset. He never heard the word good or bad, doesn't know anything about what's good and what's bad. But automatically, he knows that bad is not good. Without going to school, without lessons, by nature, a person knows that good is what they want to be. It's an automatic human reality. Everyone wants to be good. If they know that. Even if you see a terrorist, in his mind, you should know, when he goes to sleep at night, he is from the 36 righteous people in the world. He just murdered 20 people, innocent people, and he feels like a righteous tzaddik. You have to know that. Guy was smuggling drugs and making tens of millions of people sick. When he goes to sleep at night, he's thinking about all the kindness he does for the people in his circles. How many people he gives jobs to, how many people he supports. Every person has a channel of good that they measure themselves through. So we have a natural desire to be good. Fact. It's a human reality we're born with. We didn't choose it. It's the nature of a human being. By the way, it's one of the biggest proofs to the human soul. In the physical world, there's no good and bad. No good table, bad table. Good wall, bad wall, doesn't work like that. It's something broken or something that's good or nice, but good is not in the physical reality. Good is a spiritual entity. Good means something of value in the spiritual real world measured by some sort of value that is beyond physical. But that's not for today. Bottom line, everyone has a neshama, and everyone wants to be good. And we have another natural desire. It's called lazy. We, by nature, are lazy. Meaning, if we can have a choice to do or not to do, we would rather not do. By nature, we're lazy people. Now put that combination together, you got a big problem. Why?
Because to be good, you got to do things. You don't just wake up one day and you're good. Being good takes sacrifice. It takes waking up early. It takes work hard. It takes boundaries. You have to give up on certain desires that you want. And many things. To be good is a whole system. Open up Shas. Open up Perkei Avot. Open up Masechet Shabbat. Open up Masechet Berachot. To be good, you gotta do all that. By nature, I'm lazy. Lazy doesn't mean I don't exercise. Lazy doesn't mean I don't do anything. Lazy means that when there's something new and different, I rather not make a change. I like things comfortable. I like things as they are. To go and make a new way about my life, it takes work. Usually I'm lazy. I don't want to do the extra work to make a change. That's the way it works. Status quo. I like it comfortable as is. I don't like to work more than I have to. I don't like to put myself in a dangerous social status more than I have to. I don't want reactions more than I like it safe. I like it easy. Now put that combination together, I got big problems. On one hand, I want to be tov, the best. To be the best, it's a lot of work, a lot of changes, a lot of upgrades, constant fine-tuning. To be good, it's a commitment. It's daily, hourly, by the minute. Oops. On the other hand, I have a desire that I don't want to do that. I want the result of being good, but I don't want to put in the effort to get there. It's a very big problem. It would seem that you have to choose one or the other. Probably, if that was the two, you'd probably choose good. Because that's a greater desire than being lazy. However, comes the Yetzer Hara. Hashem created an unbelievable Yetzer Hara. It's an unbelievable thing. The more you study the Yetzer Hara, the more you're in awe of Hashem's wisdom. You're in awe. Can't believe how Hashem did that. Hashem created a reality. The Yetzer Hara comes to a person and says, listen, I can get you both. Don't worry. You can have your cake and eat it. No worries. You can be good without Shas. You can be good without having to make too many changes. Unbelievable. What a patent this is. What an item. I could be good and I don't have to make all the changes. It's tremendous. How does he do that? So there are many ways. There are many, many ways. One of the ways is he convinces you that looking good is more valuable than being good. He plays with your definition of good. It doesn't matter if you're really good. You don't actually have to be a Baal Hesed, which takes a lot of work, a lot of thinking, a lot of effort, constant. If in every relationship to be a Baal Hesed every person you see every day is an opportunity of giving, and it's a lot. He says, so you don't have to do that. Not necessary. Once in a while, write a big check, put your name on a building somewhere, it'll last you a couple of years. You could be the most selfish guy for 2-3 years, but don't worry. They'll honor you as one of the big Baalei Chesed the country ever saw.
Beautiful, what an item.
So here you go. I feel good. That's called lying to yourself. Because you know for a fact you're not a Baal Chesed. Because you know the way you treat people. You know the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your friends, the way you treat your secretary, the way you treat your havruta. You know it. You're not a very kind person. All day long, you're ignoring people. You're hurting people. You're screaming and yelling. And doing. You know that. You're not a Baal Chesed. Come on. But anytime the word Chesed comes up, in your mind, it's that. See that? And then when people see you, they tell you how great you are. They get up and make speeches about how big of a kind person you are. It's feeding in to your definition or misdefinition of good. That's just one example of many, many examples of a person lying to himself. You're lying to yourself. No one knows better than you what Chesed is. But you're able to live with imagination that Chesed is measured here, and that I do, whatever that here is. A person can measure his Chesed because he volunteers once a month to help families in need. On Baal Chesed, 29 other days of the month, he's a rough, cruel person. But that's not how he measures it. If Shabbat is considered a measurement of good in the person's eyes, it's possible, but he'll lie to himself and say, well, I keep Shabbat. If you keep Shabbat, how do you do that? And how do you do this? No, it's not. It's not our way. It's not our way. That's for the communists. That kind of Shabbat is for the ultra-Orthodox. They have their own Torah. That's not my Shabbat. I already have a Shabbat passed on from my father, grandfather. We do it differently over here. Are you Shomer Shabbat? Of course, I'm a good Jew. But what about Aleph, Gimel, and Vav that you missed? Because that's what Shabbat is. It's from Aleph till Tav. What about like the seven items that you missed? Now, it's not our tradition. And therefore, I ignore it. That's called lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself because deep inside, you know that Shabbat didn't start with your father. Shabbat didn't start with your grandpa. Shabbat is something that has rules and principles. And if you would just look into it, you would see and understand. But that's one of the other difficulties that the Yetzer HaRa presents, is that you don't look into things.
You'd rather be ignorant and do your thing than study and understand reality. And therefore, you go on thinking you're doing good based on your ignorant understanding of things. Another area where a person can fool himself is measure his goodness with the wrong barometer. For example, tell me, are you an angry man? Only when people upset me. Now, you're laughing. It's a little funny. But it's emet la'amito. Meaning, in your mind, you don't have an anger problem because you generally are not angry. When people do something, so I get angry. That's not called anger. So now you redefined anger. You used the wrong barometer. You didn't realize that anger is measured only when people upset you. It's like a guy who says, I never swing and miss. The only thing, he never swings. If you never swing, of course you don't miss. That doesn't count. We're talking about when you are swinging, do you miss or not? Most people measure their anger in totality of their day or month. And they say, well, in my whole month, I only got angry 10 times. So I'm not an angry person. No, I'm very calm, very calm. But you have to remember, the game of anger is only played when people upset you. You're measuring all the time when you're not playing. I never missed the ball, but you're not playing the game. That doesn't count. We never ask the question based when you're sitting in the stands watching. The question specifically is, when people upset you, do you get angry? And if that's the question, it's 100%. But the Yetzer Hara convinces you that anger is measured by the total amount of days and hours and how much of it you're angry. It's just a miscalculation. It's obviously ridiculously wrong. Nobody's angry all the time. Anger is only when there's a reason to be angry. It's another example of a person lying to himself. It could be he knows it. Most of the time, he doesn't even realize it. You're lying to yourself. You're an angry man. You're an angry person. But you lie to yourself. And so many other areas of life that we lie to ourselves. One of the great examples of a person lying to himself is when he blames others or other situations for his failure. You're lying to yourself. You say, you know why I'm not successful? Because of that. Because of him. Because of her. If I had a normal father, I'd be normal. If I had a normal upbringing, I'd be good. If I had money, I'd be something. If I was married, I would have been something today. If I was this, you know how many ifs there are in life? What are you saying? You're lying to yourself. You're excusing yourself by blaming it on someone else. Yes, I'm not good. I'm agreeing. I'm not doing good, I agree, but it's not my fault. So really, I'm good. What a genius, what an item.
So far, we spoke in higher level one. This is already coming down to our level. I know I'm not doing good things. I know it. Wait, you don't think I know? But it's not my fault. That's what everyone does. What should I do? That's the way I was raised. That's the way I am. That's, I don't know. Every many different excuses to why it's not my fault. That's one of the biggest lies in life. Is when you take a human that has free choice and he blames everyone around and every situation around him for their failure. Basically, the reason why they love to do it is because they're basically saying, I am good. I am. I'm very good. You don't see me doing the good things in life. Not my fault. What are you offering me? But I'm good. Society, family, community. You know how many blame the community for their problems? All kinds of people in the community. Those who love and appreciate our community. Many, 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 Baruch Hashem, appreciate we have such a beautiful community. And then there are people who anything that goes wrong in their life, they blame the community. It's the community's fault. How many of you blame their parents? How many of you blame their friends? How many people blame their rabbis, their teachers? How many kids blame their school? How many parents blame the school? Yeah, my son had not a great year this year. He had a very bad teacher. You just excuse an entire year. Was he a bad teacher? Was he not a bad teacher? But the messaging is clear. I'm a good person. What should I do if they stuck me in a bad situation? Anus rahamana patre. When you have no control, Hashem says you're exempt. What should I do? Many, many, many more examples. I think it's going to get too personal. I think you have the message. It's very clear that a person has a strong desire to be good, and they have a strong desire to stay the same. And in order to make shalom, a person is capable of lying to himself in all different ways. Again, one might think it's impossible to lie to yourself. It's the human reality. So that's why, says Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Ezohi derech yeshara sheyavor la'adam. What is the right road a person needs to choose to succeed? We asked on him, what do you mean the right road? You have the Constitution. You have the GPS from the Creator. What right road are you looking for? You have Shas that you wrote. What right road? What's better than that? But Rabbeinu HaKadosh knows that even if you know all the right things, with all the wisdom and all the learning and all the clear direction that Shas will give you, he knows on the other side of that, there's a person that doesn't really want to change. It's more comfortable to stay as is. And therefore, he could take all the directions and figure out a way how to lie to himself. That's not so relevant. That's not so important. All different ways of lying to yourself. That's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, all the learning that you do doesn't guarantee you that you're on your road to succeed in life. So what's the answer? So how do you guarantee it? Says Rabbeinu HaKadosh, you need one thing in life. Could you imagine? You need one thing in life. If you're good at it, you're on the way to success. If you don't have this, he's telling you, guaranteed, you will not make it the way you think you should or need to. What is the item? Says Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Ye'ehav et ha-tochachot. You have to be a person who loves rebuke. You have to love criticism. Not just listen to it. You have to love it. What does it mean to love rebuke? It doesn't mean that you accept when people rebuke you. It doesn't mean that. It's higher than that. The word yehav is describing an emotional connection to rebuke. Not just a person who accepts when people give him rebuke. No, no. Yehav loves it. What does that mean? Loves him. And what I have to love it for? Why love it? I have to love Hashem. I have to love people. Why do I have to love rebuke? I have to accept rebuke. That's all that matters. Why love it? I'm going to tell you why I have to love it. At least what I think this means. Because most people in life will never rebuke. They're too scared. They don't want to risk the relationship. They will not rebuke you. Most people in life will not tell you what's wrong with you. And therefore, how are you ever going to hear rebuke? The opposite, all you hear is people praising you. They tell you how great you are, how special you are. They compliment you. It's very nice. But you never hear rebuke. That's why you have to be a person who loves it. Why does a person eat when they're hungry? How come they eat when they're hungry? You know why? Because they love themselves. When you love yourself, you take care of yourself. When you love something, you don't just wait for it to happen. You make it happen. When you love it, you look for it. You search. You ask. You're even willing to pay for things that you love. You have to love rebuke. If you're going to wait for people to rebuke you, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because people don't generally do that. But if you love it, so then you'll find every opportunity to get criticized, to hear what might be wrong with you. When you're reading a book, you'll take the words personally. When you're hearing a rabbi speak or somebody speak, you'll take it personally. You'll connect it to yourself because you love it. When you don't love it and you hear the rabbi speaking, so you're thinking about everybody else except yourself. Not talking to me. People love Musar. They love to hear Musar. You ever see that? People love Musar. They love it. And every once in a while, you tell a guy, comment directly, says, Rabbi, why are you talking to me like that? Were you talking to me, Rabbi? I don't understand. I've been talking for the last year. You're in the class every day. But every day he's in class listening.
about other people's problems.
He's right, you're right. You're right. A lot of angry people out there. Aren't you right?
People love Musar. They love to hear about how problematic people are. Then you tell them something straight. Oh, why are you talking to me? What happened? Yehab edatokahot means that when you hear someone talking, you go and you connect it because you love it. You love what they have to say because it applies to you. And you love reading about yourself. And you'll search for the people to surround yourself with that are willing to rebuke you. This is Yehab etatochahot. This guarantees success in life. Knowing what's right and wrong doesn't guarantee anything, because you could live a lie. But if you love to hear rebuke, you're guaranteed to find the right derech in life. Because ultimately, we all want to be good. And when we are ready to hear what we need to fix to be good, we're more than willing to do it, even if it's hard to change. The biggest block we have is that we lie to ourselves. And we translate goodness in all different ways, or excuse ourselves in different ways. Love rebuke, and you will find success without a question. Have a wonderful day.